cosmos, the cosmic ocean. So we have this image there of the Buu Mandala, the Buu Loka. Some disk above an ocean. Which fills up the lower, the bottom part of the bubble of the cosmos. Now, seeing from the perspective we have developed, we are looking at here. In other words, from the consciousness, centered cosmology, meaning that we can expect when descriptions are given of the world or the cosmos, it is simply done from us conscious observers. So what do we see? Well, we see an earth surface that we walk upon, tread upon. Then that surface, you could say below that surface, there is a sea, there's water, and it continues down, down, down there. So it could be as simple as that. And again, the rest of it is about the life down there in the sea. The mode of being down there in the depths. Which again, microcosmically, in our inner world, our inner cosmos, is there also as a depth, deep down there in the subconscious, deeper levels of our consciousness. Then we have Varuna, for instance. We have this Dikpalas, Lokapalas, Indra in the east. Well, the four of them at least, there are eight actually, but Yamaraj in the south, Varuna in the west, Kuvera in the north. I'm just now reading about Varuna. Who is the god of, well, the Western direction, but of the, as the tradition has said, this, the ocean, the seas, the depth, right? And the night, dusk, when the night comes, of course, because that's when the sun goes down in the ocean or whatever, it goes down and the night falls. It is said he has a, his weapon is a pashu or whatever. It captures and snares us, which could mean, you know, here we are taken over by the night and we go to sleep and we go down also into the depth. Our dreams of the that night world. It could be something along that line. And then Kubera, well, he's said to be the god of opulence or riches and all that. Anyway, you could analyze a little bit, study them. But, you know, in this way, if this is a proper understanding of those gods and divinities and of the earthly disk and the water below, then it fits pretty well, because it also introduces again or maintains that, you know, the consciousness-centered view, which also includes not only looking out through the physical eyes, but looking out from the Atma, looking at the at all those three worlds, as we are doing right now. I'm here, the conscious observer, and I've got a subconscious. Where, you know, intelligence works and lives. There are no mental or physical forms at that level. It's an abstract level, but not a darkness, but a brighter level, actually. And then there's the mind. Again, you know, intelligence is bright. And then there's the mind, which we can experience right now also. And then there is the realm seen through our physical senses. All that together is the world, the cosmos. So, what better way to describe the cosmos than in this way? And then, you know, God like Varuna. I mean, who are those gods? Are they just symbolic characters representing a direction or a state of mind, or events and time? Or are they actually persons, higher beings in higher realms, who rule over nature in that way? I don't know. But we do find often enough these gods being related to astronomical phenomena. Or character traits, you know, conscious mind and intelligence and all this inner world, the subtle world, the gross world. And we all often find them as archetypes, meaning, you know, the fundamental living beings, maybe you could say. This is on a tree, which we have used as a metaphor here often, next to the sun and his sun rays. You know, God has the entire tree, Krishna has the entire tree. There's three guna avatars as the roots. And then the branches, main trunks, you know, and branches. As the devas, the gods. You know, the purer, higher, more ideal life form, so to speak, of ways of being. You know, you're very powerful, you're wise, you're just like as you find here on earth, there are some people here who are great ruler positions, some of them intellectually, some militarily, you know, they're. And they are not personally running around managing the world, but they are kind of directing the show so that everything works out nicely. Managing. So I think you could see it that way, that there are. We little humans, we are just like little insects in this tree. Or little birds, maybe. Bumblebees. Flies. Little flowers and leaves and the trunks. We can imagine that existence of the of being a god in that sense of I would say not some kind of strange, super duper spectacular, and then as many would see it, imagine being, but on the contrary, a more normal being. normal person whose faculties, you know, intellectual, psychological, action abilities, are more uncovered, more or freer, closer to how we actually are. And then down there on the little twigs of that tree where the human beings are, that they call themselves, they are seen by those devas, you know, seen from that trunk platform. Very limited little living beings. They are alive, we can see. They are thinking a bit like us. They have feelings like we do. Simple, primitive, but they can feel pain and pleasure, so we should care for them, not step on them, and, you know. Just as we might look at little animals and insects on the ground when we walk around. I think that viewing it that way may give us some kind of, again, by analogy and metaphor, give us some kind of understanding of what a god or a deva is, what kind of person. And if some say, now, what do you say person? They are just forces of nature or something. But that's also where I think we need to look a bit deeper and question, challenge this kind of impersonalism, philosophical ideas that have crept in into our culture. We are persons. You are a person, I am a person. And when you go out in town or whatever, then you see all these wonderful persons. Because it is really wonderful. All these persons, each one an own person with an own life. Struggles and successes and longings and fears and love and hate. Whew. Fantastic we are. We living persons. And then, if we would look higher up in the trunks, of this tree of life, why would we expect, why should we expect something impersonal? Why would personality disappear the more real it gets? is it not more logical that it gets more personal? Persons, as we all are, we who live, a conscious being is a person. You can't remove personality from consciousness. And if you had some kind of transcendental experience, finding yourself one with everything, merging into the oneness, and there is still you who's there, one with everything. You're still that individual, a person, who has that experience of being in the oneness. If you didn't have that sense of self, there would be no experience. So, take this as a little exercise in personalism, personalist cosmology. Which I would say is an important and significant factor, aspect of the living cosmos, as we call it now.